that we can persistently show in this world. But how do we do that? How do we do that is the question that Peter, through the scripture, answers. And he says this, and if you would look with me, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, in your copy of the scripture, he says that there is a singular soul, completely unified answer to evil. And it is this, chapter 3, verse 15. In your hearts, continuously revere, that is, make holy, Christ. Continuously revere Christ. And I will say to some of us here, maybe listening or otherwise, or someone you know, if this answer doesn't make sense from the scripture, maybe you need hope. Maybe someone you know needs hope. Maybe this is the time to submit your heart, their heart, to Christ Jesus, to his love and forgiveness, and to be, as Donna shared in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, to be born again. And as a born-again person, a born-again Christ follower, you have the hope of the ages. And the scripture shows that not only do we have opportunity, but we get to share blessing with others. And so as I was looking through the scripture and studying, I recognized that there are three kinds of evil that are challenging us, but that they're challenging us to display, to demonstrate hope, to demonstrate blessing. So I asked the question, how do Christ followers, born again people, follow and show blessing through severe evil? And the answer is this: demonstrate faith in Christ. Follow along with me as I read from verses 8 through 12 in 1 Peter 3. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You probably know this already, but severe evil is the worst of evils. And it does exist in this world. It's persistent. And you may have been reading even in the news this week or last week of those persistent events. But Peter quotes out of Psalm chapter 34, in which he says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous." And this was quoted because King David, the psalmist who wrote these words, was being chased, pursued, hounded, and hunted by his own people, as well as by foreigners, everywhere he turned. And they were looking and finding means in order to murder him. But I want to assure us as well that few people actually experience this kind of evil, but some may. And the scripture commands us to bless, to represent God himself, even in severe evil. But you ask the question again, how? And I answer again, demonstrate faith in God. Dennis had mentioned earlier that Easter is coming. And the celebration is about to be upon us. But right now we're in the period called Lent. Lent, the word literally means spring. And this is now the point of time in which we reflect on what Jesus did, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And Jesus himself demonstrated faith in God, even in severe evil. And he did it through faith that was silent. Jesus, being fully God and being fully man, though he was accused falsely. And Matthew in chapter 26 begins to explain some of these events that go on. And beginning verse 59, it explains how the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But verse 63 is how he demonstrated faith in God, even in severe evil. And it says this, but Jesus remained silent. Peter reminds us that the eyes of the Lord are on those who experience this. His eyes are not just sharply intent upon that person, but they're even full of tears as he observes this going on in severe evil. Now, the normal reaction of you and I would be self-defense, to defend ourselves against the lies. But Jesus demonstrated through silent faith that God is blessing through his silence, and even is his defense and vindication through his silence. And I want you to think with me, because the scripture is about thinking. Following Christ is about thinking. Being born again is about recognizing what he is sharing through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. Think with me. Just like Jesus, we get to bless our accusers by silent faith, even in the severest of evil. So what's our faith like in severe evil, or what is faith like in severe evil? Scripture says, repay evil with blessing. There's a class that we share here on Sunday nights. Courtney Dixon is leading it, called A Faithful Witness. It's where we learn about those who are persecuted. We invite you to come and pray for those who are persecuted. We actually even meet with those who are persecuted or those who are going to the persecuted. But one recent time, we looked at the life of a pastor named Richard Wurmbrand. He was in a communist Romanian prison for 14 years for his faith. And he said this, a flower, if you bruise it under your feet, rewards you by giving you its perfume. Likewise, Christians tortured by the communists rewarded their torturers by silent love. We gave the communists who made us suffer the best we have, which, like Donna shared in John as well, is salvation that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? There is really no blessing in cursing severe evil or in fighting, but rather in demonstrating blessing in severe evil. And we get to do this. And I say that in any evil that the scripture is plain, and I share with you again chapter 3, verse 15, this is the opportunity to revere Christ in our hearts. That is the blessing. So there's a second kind of evil that seems to continue to crop up in this persistent evil world, and it's called slanderous evil. How can we bless in slanderous evil? When someone slanders you, when someone attacks you, when someone attacks that which you love, and they make evil of it by a false accusation. Well, listen, because we get to answer with hope. Follow along in verses 13 through 17. Of 1 Peter 3. So who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now, slander is evil, you know. You may have experienced severe evil, some have, but slander is evil, you know. You've experienced it, haven't you? It's more common. It's more common online. It's more common at work. It's more common at school. It's sometimes even more common in our homes. It hurts. It attacks. It berates. But how do we bless even in slander? And the scripture is plain, and I'm sharing with us, answer with hope. Now, Jesus was not just silent when he was falsely accused, because we follow further in the story as we're leading up to Good Friday. We're leading up to the events that follow with the resurrection. In Matthew 26, it continues, because this is what happened. And the high priest said to him, that is to Jesus, I charge you under the oath of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And jumping down to verse 64, Jesus said this. He answered with hope. He answered with hope. He said, you have said so. But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, slanderous evil begs an answer. You know it. You've been tempted. I've been tempted to answer slander. But it begs an answer. Yet I would say not with self-defense, not with counterattack, but rather with blessing and answering with hope, just like Jesus answered with hope. When the foolishness of lies, of the attacks, the accusations are exhausted, I'm saying to us, that is the time to speak faith. Answer with hope that lies within you. Now, Jesus Christ, our Savior, demonstrated this. He didn't defend himself, but this is what he did do. And this is what we are encouraged to do. He changed the conversation. He changed the narrative. He changed the answer from the seemingly vindictive response that they were expecting, and he answered with hope. Peter says this, don't fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Honor him as holy. That is your desire, is to speak of him, not of yourself. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. So what's our hope like with slander and around slander? Now, slander is one of the best ways to goad a reaction from people. You see it on the TV, you see it in politics, you see it in your own experience. But as born again believers, those who are born from above, Christ followers, we are always looking for an opportunity to revere Christ, to change the conversation to Christ, to hope, because we revere him. So this is what we need to do. We don't need to push for a chance to speak. We pray for an opportunity to speak, to change the conversation, rather than to go along with this world. But if someone speaks to you, speak to them. Respond to them. You have a right to speak of hope. So if someone talks to you about the weather, you have an opportunity to speak of God's wonders. If someone wants to talk to you or me about politics, we have an opportunity to speak about prayer for our government. If someone speaks to you about the destruction of the family, we speak about faith in the family. If someone talks to you about the filth of this world, we speak about forgiveness of resurrected lives, of being born again through Christ. There was a commander who was extremely angry, a commander in the military. He was depressed and he was on edge because he had lost another soldier. And this soldier happened to be his own driver, who was a Christian. And so a chaplain said to him, "Sir, the soldiers need hope." But the commander in his bitterness snapped and he said, "Hope's not a plan, that's weak." But the chaplain looked at him in the eyes and said, "Sir, the soldiers have no other plan. You can bless them by giving and answering with hope." And he did, and it changed the whole spirit of that brigade. Evil exists, but it's still an opportunity to speak of the reason for the hope that is within us. But how can you do that? This is how Peter answers it in chapter 3, verse 15. Again, he says, you can do that because you desire, you want to revere Christ. You want to make him known. He is the one who you regard as holy, not yourself or your own dignity or your own pride. Answer with hope. But there's a third kind of evil that seems to be part of our world. That third kind is spiritual evil. And spiritual evil with a small s is that which is not from God. And how do we deal with that? We go in love. Listen to verses 18 through 22. "For Christ himself also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, made alive in the spirit, in which he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when he waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not through the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with the angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." This spiritual evil exists in the world. And it was referred to in the events that took place that Peter mentioned at the time of Noah. It's daily evil. It's the evil of the world, the flesh, the devil. It affects everyone. Severe evil may happen. Slanderous evil is most likely happening. But spiritual evil is everywhere. Every person, unsaved, saved, it doesn't matter, is affected by spiritual evil. It can be the evil of commission, all kinds of treacherous, intentional evil, but it also can be the evil of corruption, of deterioration, like of broken lives, of a broken planet, even broken health that was shared with us this morning. But Peter purposely inserts the history of Noah. Why? Why would he insert this history of Noah? He shows it as an example how the spiritual evil affects everyone, but how there is someone who goes in love. First Peter refers to this because he reflects back on what happened in Genesis chapter 6. And I'll just read to you from verse 5. It's the spiritual evil that took place in Genesis. And it says, "Wickedness, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And I know that that sounds like something maybe you have seen going on, but I'm telling you that at the time that this is going on, at this part of the time of the world, is what Jesus compared to the end of time. He said there will be wickedness just like the days of Noah, and it will be unsurpassed wickedness. This, friends, is spiritual evil at its worst. And yet Peter says, because of this story, there was a specific action taken by a specific person in this universal evil. Chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19 explains it. Christ went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when Noah waited patiently, or God waited patiently in the days of Noah. Now, theologians have grappled with this, and I'll give it to you in the brief form this morning. They have grappled with this throughout centuries. Some say this refers to Christ after the resurrection. He went to prison of Hades, and he went there to purge, or to establish what is known as purgatory. But there's a couple problems with that. First of all, the phrase that you see in verse 19, after being made alive, doesn't exist in the text and in the best manuscripts. But secondly, there's something else. It denies that the scripture makes it very plain that man is appointed once to die, and then after this, the judgment. There are no second chances. No second chances after this death. This is why we say as a church, this is why the scripture says, now is the day to be born again. Now is the day to come to Christ and to tell your friends and your frenemies to come to Christ. Now is the day. There is no chance after this life. Other theologians say, well, Christ went to go to hell in order to gloat over those who had rejected him. But that denies the very purpose of the good news. Not God gloating. God does not gloat over those who have rebelled. He brings good news. The best interpretation, the one that I am sharing with you, the one that I hold, and I want you to study your own scripture, is that Christ, because the plain sense of the scripture is plain sense, Christ literally, either in his pre-incarnate form or with accompanying Noah, went to those who were disobedient. He went to them. Love goes. He's not sitting distant from your pain. He's not removed from your cares. He goes to you. He goes to this world. And it says in the scripture, Christ went to those who were disobedient, not to drown them in a flood, but for that time, the scripture says, that time of the days of Noah, he was imploring, whether it be in his pre-incarnate form or through Noah, he was imploring, come, come, come. And he went and he made proclamation. Friends, when the word proclamation comes up in the Bible, it's always about good news. Always about good news. God blessed, even in evil, universal evil, by going to people. So how do we bless in spiritual evil? Peter uses a word. For those who are born again, he uses a word. He says, pledge to go in love to people. Peter makes a parallel of the flood to the symbol of water of following Christ. And he says, this water symbolizes baptism, which now saves you, not the removal of filth from the flesh. Baptism is not a physical act that takes away the sin of the soul. It is this. It is through the clear conscience. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those who are born again here, those who are born again in my hearing, those who are born again who you will bring to the knowledge of Christ, they can pledge, we can pledge to follow Christ and bless by going in love like Christ goes, like Christ did then and he goes still. We have no greater work. There's nothing more important we can do than to go to each other and to go to others in love for Christ's sake, sharing the love of God. Verse 21, 1 Peter 3 says that even in the darkness of spiritual evil, this love shows a clear conscience, a conscience that is clear because I'm doing as God loves. So what is the application of all of this? There's persistent evil here. It's here for now. And even in the first kind of severe evil, it happens, and even a few get to bless by demonstrating their faith in God. In the second kind of evil, in slanderous evil, which is more common, it's happened to probably all of us. It's much more common, but we get to bless by answering with the hope that is within us. Not answering out of our pain or reacting, but answering about Jesus Christ. And in the third kind of spiritual, the spiritual evil, it's everywhere. All feel it. Everyone. Saved or unsaved, it doesn't matter. But we get to bless by going in the love of God to all. It's very interesting that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. And so I say to us here, and I say to you to echo in your heart to others, here or otherwise, the greatest display in evil that is here is that we get to love. Why? Because like Donna and John shared, like you have shared others, because we desire to revere Christ. Christ in our hearts. And so I ask if you would please stand with me if you're able. Stand with me as we come before Him to pledge our hearts. You can pledge your heart to Jesus Christ if you have not been born again. You can pledge your heart to Him now. In your heart, in your seat, or in your standing position, you can pledge your heart now to Him. And you can pledge as those who are born again to say, I will follow you, Lord Jesus. I will follow you even in this evil in order to answer, in order to display faith, and in order to go in love. Father, I pray that you would hear us as we pledge before you, that you would take our pledge, that you would be the one who is the resurrection and the life in our lives as we look forward to Easter. And we ask that you would take this pledge and you would transform us as persons and as people of God who are born again to go to this world. And we ask and we praise you and we worship you, the one who is seated with all authority, being subjected to him. You, Lord Jesus, are the Christ, the Savior of the world. We praise you and thank you. In your holy name, amen. And as you carry that pledge with you, I pray as well, go in peace, follow and serve the Lord today. Amen.